I would if I could. I'll guarantee you, they got donuts in there. I'd be there. I'd be first in line. I'd be the teacher's pet. Well, I'm going to go as fast as I can, but I ain't promising nothing. I hope you don't have a roast in the oven that is supposed to come out right at noon, because chances are it's going to be overcooked. Just saying. Father, stand with me this morning, church, would you? Father God, I come before you this morning, Lord, and I ask, Lord, like never before, for your anointing. God, I pray, Lord, as we look at this message, as we hear the word of the Lord, not only for our church, but for the nation, for our state, Father God, that, Lord, that you would give me, Lord, your favor, that you would give me, Lord, your anointing, your voice, your words, Lord, to declare over your people. Lord, they're not mine. This isn't my church. This is your church. These are your people. And Father, I thank you for the gathering that is here today, God. I pray, Lord, that your anointing would rest upon every person in the sound of my voice. I pray, God, that your anointing would go forth from this place over the internet. I pray, God, that you would bring an increase. Lord, let this message, Lord, let me be able to convey this message in such a way, Lord, that it would bring change to our lives, God, conviction in our spirit. And Lord, I thank you for it. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And all God's people said amen and amen. Remain standing with me just for a minute while I read these scriptures. I want to share from the New Testament this passage of Scripture. Church, is absolutely prophetic. This is what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And in Psalms 84, verses 1 through 12, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ears, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Lord, I pray this morning that you would add, Lord, your word is already blessed and anointed, but God, this mouthpiece this morning needs your blessing. I need your anointing. I need your touch to declare this word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Listen, the writer longed for a way long to get away from the bustling world to meet God inside His dwelling place, inside His holy temple. Listen, this message title this morning is The Glory of the Gathering. Listen, church, we were never created to stay at home and watch services on TV or on the internet. And as grateful as we are for what God's doing through that medium here in our church, that is not God's plan. We can meet God anywhere at any time, but we know that going into a church building can help us step aside from the busy mainstream of life so that we can meditate and pray. We find joy and strength not only in the prayers, not only in the music, not only in the lessons and the sermons, but also in fellowshipping with other believers in this special place. Remember back when the government COVID mandates showed up. They shut down our gatherings and the church. And the reality is, we didn't have an internet presence until that happened. We had no other way. It was a strange kind of a season. I remember preaching on that first service after the mandate came forth that we could, as God's people, the government said we could no longer come together. We could no longer assemble. We could no longer have church services. And I remember preaching to a room that was completely empty except for some stuffed animals and some toys that my daughter and my grandkids put all over the place and helium balloons that were tied to chairs with smiley faces on them. It was the craziest thing ever. The only other people in the place was the tech team that were putting it out on the internet. We had never done that before. The only people in the place was the teams making the video to get a message to all who wanted it. It seemed like most all pastors were trying to stay positive and were basically, they were saying the same kinds of things. Well, you know, thank God that people are still giving online. Thank God that the money's still there. Our online crowd is fantastic, and at least people are getting church, even if it's not in the building. But let me tell you something, folks. That last line is not correct. You do not get church on the internet. People online are not getting church. They are getting a service. And there is a vast difference. I'm going to need your help to preach this. I've only got 8 pages of notes. See, church, we have to understand that church is not just hearing preaching. It's not just being blessed by the worship. It's not just sending out our tithe. Church is referring to the body of Christ, and it is about the mystical manifest glory of the gathering in the house of God, church. It is the regular reunion of the believers, the weekly celebration of the community of God. Understand this, church. Watching or viewing church is not having church. Attending church is having church. Don't misunderstand me. Do not misunderstand me, folks. Our heart goes out to those that are shut in. Folks that cannot get out. Folks that are in hospitals and in prisons and they're working out of town. Lord God, be with those that are overseas serving our country that are on military assignments. I know you long to be for the day when we can come back together with believers of like precious faith, with people that you call family here in your home church. And thank God that until that day, they can be with us online. But online is secondary from being in the house of God. Even though we have modern technology to get the message of the church to the four corners of the earth, the message of the church is not all there is to the church. There are those who will, I've heard them, you've heard them, and they say stuff like this. Well, Pastor, the building is not the church. People in China meet in houses. People in Africa meet in tents and under trees, and people in Arab countries often find a secluded place, a secret place, to avoid getting in trouble. And people in Afghanistan are meeting in caves to have church. And my response is, yes, you're exactly right. But the gathering in all those places is still the church. See, you're right when you say that the building is not the church, but the gathering is. The gathering is, whether the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there. It's the gathering. I know that in the aftermath of COVID, we've been left with a very different pattern of church attendance. But we have to understand that there is a glory in the gathering of the Lord's church that cannot be known anywhere else in human experience. Well, I can experience God when I'm up at the lake. That's true. You sure can. Or when you're over at the coast. That's true. You sure can. But that's entirely different than coming together with the body of believers in the place that is the church, the gathering where the church comes together. Let me tell you this. Let me break it. I got some points here, and I'm gonna try and keep up with them. But the number one, the gathering is glorious because it satisfies the soul. Did I say what my message title was? The glory of the gathering. The gathering is glorious because it satisfies the soul. See, the soul is where anxiety and stress are processed and experienced. It is also where joy and peace are processed and experienced. The soul is the seat of human emotion. And according to the Bible, the soul can get hungry and it can get thirsty. Listen to what it says in Psalm 107 and verse 9. He satisfies my thirsting or my longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So our souls can also become bound and restricted. According to Psalm 142 and verse 7, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Listen, our churches, our souls can become weary. Our souls can become weary. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says, the purifying or the detox of the soul means a new love for the brethren, which is the gathering. It says this in the scripture, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Listen, to love somebody fervently means you'll probably go out of your way for that person. You'll probably do something a little beyond the norm for that person. Why? Because you love them. Christ died on the cross. Why? Because He loved us. It was way more than some kind of lip service. He put His life on the cross because He loved you and I. He loves us. Psalm chapter 84 and verse 2 says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Does yours? Listen, don't you feel a little more comfortable coming together with the family of God and lifting your voice and singing praises than maybe when you're all by yourself, or maybe just a couple of you, and you're like, man, everybody's wondering what I sound like. Listen, when you get in a group like this, who cares? Listen, I'll tell you what, man. When we were down there in worship, I'll tell you what, I cried, bawled, squalled, snot flying everywhere. I didn't care. I didn't care. Because I knew that I was in the presence of people with the same kind of faith that I was having, that I have. And that people were more concerned about whether or not they were touching heaven, whether I might get something on them. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of my Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Let me give you some statistics this morning. according to the George Barna Group, the Barna Research Group, 32% of Christians, 32% of Christians have stopped attending church altogether post-COVID. 32%. Listen, you don't have to be a math whiz to figure out that according to the calculations, a church of 1,000 now has an attendance of 680. That's a significant drop. A church of 10,000 has been reduced by over 3,000 attendance. Barna research also shows that a clear majority of those surveyed that have returned to regular church attendance, number one, they are not anxious about life as those who have stopped attending services. You know why? Because there's people sitting next to you today that support you. There are people that are sitting next to you today that pray for you, that build you up, that lift you up, that hold you up. Folks in church are not as anxious about life as those who have stopped attending live services. Number two, the church attenders, attenders surveyed are also more likely to say that they have an inner peace from God. Church attenders. Number three, Christians have stopped attending church are also more likely to be bored and anxious about life. When you are the sheep that leaves the flock, the Bible calls you lost. I'm not calling you lost. The Bible calls you lost. When you're the prodigal and you leave the party at dad's house and go off to a foreign land, I'm not saying you're lost. The Father said he's lost. See, when our people are no longer gathering, they are vulnerable to every device of the devil. See, church, it's up to us to get out of the insanity of going with the flow and submitting to all this stuff. We need to tell the people, come back to church. Come back to church. You can stay home. You can go to work. You can go to the gym. You can listen to the latest doomsday talk from the network anchors. You can go to the gossip circles. You can fall in bed at the end of the day with a troubled and a tormented soul, or you can come and walk into the glory of this place on a Sunday morning, stand beside a brother or sister in Christ in glorious worship, and your soul will soar. Your soul will soar. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, I don't know about the rest of you, but when the rapture happens, I hope we get a little bit of time to just soar around. Amen. I just want to hover for a little bit. Lord, here's what you need to understand, church. When you come to church, you not only hear the message, you feel the message. There's something far more impacting in this atmosphere than 5G. Hello. There's something far more impacting than 5G. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. See, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that lights up the air in this place. We don't just get the message, but all the messages, they're here. Listen, I learned some of the craziest stuff. There's a study out there, church. There is a study where scientists they feel like they're right on the edge of being able to pull sound waves from the air of things that have been spoken. Before the boat. Thank you. It's crazy. They say they're right on the verge of pulling sound waves from the air that make up conversations and speeches that have been out there since the beginning of time. That's crazy. I don't understand it. I don't even want to know about it. But I'm telling you, that's what they're doing. There's a theory that everything that has been spoken on the earth is still out there. Woo! Crazy. Be careful what you say. That is a loaded statement. See, when you come in, the theory is that when you come into this building, every message that has been preached is still floating around in this atmosphere, that every praise that has been offered up is still here, that every moment of repentance is still, that has been experienced, it's still here. And I believe when we come into this place, there is an atmosphere of anticipation. What did you come for today? Just because it's Sunday, you had to come to church? Man, I pray to God that you came into this place with an expectation that somehow I'm going to touch God. Somehow God's going to touch me. How many times, church? Listen, I don't know. When you're sitting here, you're absolutely taken by what is in this place and what's always been in this place, at least since we've owned it. I hope the things that have been spoken in this place are bouncing around in here, getting on us and stuff. How many times do you think that declarations like these have been released? If God is for you, who can be against you? That all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. How about greater is He that's in the world that is in you than he that's in the world? How about in His presence is the fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore? When we see all these things begin to pass, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Come on, church, somebody give God some glory. Let me tell you something, church. You not only hear it when you're here, you feel the word to your core. Your soul is forever transformed in the gathering. You don't get this kind of stuff sitting at the house. You just don't get it there. The worship begins to fill you. Your faith begins to soar. You have the strength of soul to face the week and conquer it. Are you just going to squeak through the week, or are you going to grab life by the horns, man, and ride that puppy to the ground? See, it's time, church, to go back to church. We need to put aside our personal offenses. There's people laying out of church because somebody offended them. Listen, folks, we need to put that aside. If you know of somebody like that and they've offended you and maybe you're the reason that they feel offended, go to them. That's the Bible. Go to them. Set it straight. Say, man, we miss you in church. Here's another one. We need to overcome our fear of COVID. Step through our apprehension, get some Holy Ghost courage, and go back to church. The Word says, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Do you want to be known because you shrink back or because you have faith of the preserving soul? Listen, I want to be crazy strong for Jesus. Your soul longs for this place, the courts of the Lord, and there is a glory your soul craves. You can't get it anywhere else but in the gathering. Number two, the gathering is glorious because it's God's plan. The gathering is glorious because it's God's plan. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 in the King James says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. Let me tell you something. It's God's plan. It's God's plan that we come together. It's God's plan that we set aside some time on Sunday morning to come together. It's God's plan that we come back together on Sunday night and just spend some more time with one another. It's God's plan. The gathering was God's plan. The gathering was His plan from the beginning. The very first thing that we see that God says to the man and the woman in Genesis chapter 1, be fruitful and multiply. There was only two of them. That ain't much of a gathering. He says, hey, grow the gathering. God never intended for our lives to be lived isolated and alone. He is a God that not just of the person, but of the people from the very beginning. Even after God's plan with Adam and Eve was hijacked by the deceptions of the devil, God found another man of faith to buy into His corporate vision of a people. Not a person, a people. Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. I'll curse him who curses you. And in all you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Can I tell you? It's God's goal not just to bless Abraham individually, but to pass his DNA of faith to a family that would become a nation. Let me tell you something, church. When I first started going to pastor school back in 1991 or 92, the first time I ever went, I was just a log truck driver. I was not doing anything in ministry, but I went there that first time. And something happened inside me. God did something crazy inside of me. I came back a different person. I came back changed. Because there's a Tommy Barnett, whether you like him or you don't like him, is irrelevant. The man hears from God, and the man is used by God. And back in the 90s, something of his DNA to save souls, to reach the lost, to be a blessing to those that did not have, got down inside of me. And I found him and singled him out while we were down there. And I said, listen, I just want to talk to you for a minute if you got time. He always has had time. I was nobody to nobody, and that's exactly what I told him. But I said, when I talk to you, you know what? The difference is, when he came and talked to me, when I visited with him, he looked right at me. He looked right into my eyes. He listened to every word that I said. He wasn't looking over here. He wasn't looking over there. He wasn't looking at his watch. He was looking right at me. He gave me his full, undivided attention the entire time, and I reminded him of that. And I watched him while I was waiting to go and talk to him. And every person that went up to him, he gave them his undivided attention. And I told him that. He said, man, you blessed me. You've made my day. I said, Tommy, when I was here before, Pastor, I was just a log truck driver. That's all I was. I sang a little bit on the worship team. That's all I did. But I said, I want you to know now, because of what you instilled in us, I'm now a pastor of a church in Myrtle Creek. And I said, I'm telling you, they had vendors, you know, they had vendors all around. And as I the motel coffee was horrible. It just about make you quit drinking coffee. It was bad. But they sold coffee at the church. Glory to Jesus. And so I was waiting in line to get a cup of coffee, and I looked across the whatever it was, the place there where we was at, the portico or whatever, and I saw this big banner across there, and it had red rocks, and it had sagebrush, and it had juniper trees, and all that kind of stuff on it, and it caught my eye, and it said Short Creek Dream Center, and all of a sudden a light went off in my head, pow. Short Creek, I know where that is. You don't know? Does anybody know where Short Creek is? Nobody knows. What in the world's wrong with you people? Short Creek is in Arizona. Short Creek is where Colorado City and Centennial Park are at. And if you're familiar with that, that's where Warren Jeffs and the Barlows and all of those people that in polygamy, that's their ground. When Warren Jeffs was arrested just north of Las Vegas on Interstate 15 in about 2010, he had 68 wives. The youngest was 12 years old. When we were in Utah, I remember going to the Walmart and to Home Depot and different places like that, and the people from those polygamy cities, towns, would come in there. You could look right at them and just look clear through them. I mean, there was nothing there. Completely devastated, completely controlled, completely brainwashed, completely... Listen, I don't think 68 women are signing up to be married to the same dude. They're not looking... Oh, I sure hope I get picked. Oh, choose me, choose me. I don't think that's going on there. And what is wrong with the man that thinks he can take care of 68 women? I'll get back to preaching in a minute. That alone ought to tell you that there's got to be something demonic about that entire thing. Here's the deal. Since Warren Jeffs got thrown in prison for life without the possibility of parole, hallelujah. Dream City Church took over his 60-some room mansion in Short Creek, Arizona. Have turned it into a dream center, and they're touching and ministering and reaching the lives of those girls that are coming out of that abusive relationship setting, the trafficking, all that's going on. They're being ministered to in that place. And you know what happened? I went to them and I said, I know where Short Creek is. And I said, I'm not taking any credit for anything that you folks are doing there, but let me tell you what I did in 2003. 2003 was way before they ever planned on anything out there. Me and another pastor and a guy in my church got in an airplane that he owned. And I said, we need to take the battle to where the Bible says the battle is. And the Bible says it's in the air, principalities and powers in heavenly places. I said, let's go fly over Colorado City and fly over Centennial Park and fly over Short Creek. And we went and made circles in the air around and around. And we prayed against the demonic forces in that place. And we prayed, God, shut this place down. God, reveal your light in that place. And now in 2021, there is now a church in that place. And I said, I want you to know there were seeds planted a long time ago that you folks are harvesting right now. And I just want to tell you, thank God that you were obedient and went. But it's because of the DNA that came from a man into us that we began to do what God has called us to do. Amen? So God's goal was not just to bless Abraham individually, but to pass his DNA from faith to a family that would become a nation. And then we have Jacob, Abraham's grandson. He had 12 sons who were the beginning tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, and God delighted in them. See, church, God loves every one of us. He knows us by name. He numbered the very hairs on our head, but in God's heart, it has never just been about the individual. It is always ultimately been about the gathering. Listen, about his people being together. How about King David? How about King David? King David was certainly a gatherer. Look at what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 22 in the first two verses. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. David's always on the run. King Saul's after him. He escapes. He runs to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's house, all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And listen, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontent had gathered to him, so he became captain over them. There were about 400 men with him. Isn't that amazing? He didn't get the cream of the crop, did he? See, when David finally took the throne, the strength of his kingdom was that he regularly met with the people in the gate. It was like a large city square. And David met with the people there. And someone said this. Someone said, well, Jesus, he didn't go to church. Really? Clue number one, you ain't been reading your Bible. Let me tell you what it says here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was. It wasn't like he just rode into town and thought, believe I'll just go to church. And it was his custom. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. Listen, Jesus' main objective while here on this earth was to prepare his disciples for their mission to serve the people of God. He was imparting into them. He was giving them what he wanted them to say. He was preparing them for a time that was about to come. And there was going to be a gathering that was incredible. See, then you got a guy like Peter. Can I just tell you? The Lord basically told Peter about the gathering. He said, listen, Peter, you cannot love me and not love the gathering. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And for sure, the Holy Spirit came in a gathering. Remember the upper room? They were all gathered in one accord, in the upper room. Hello. The Holy Spirit came into a gathering. Listen, Jesus, when He ascended in a gathering. Can I just tell you, number three, that the gathering is glorious because God's favor and blessing is there. Psalm 84 and 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Psalm 92, verses 12 and 13, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. This isn't saying that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the house of the Lord. That's not what it said. It's two different places that is being talked about here. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord is a place here on earth. Shall flourish in the courts of God is a place in heaven. Number four, the glory of the gathering is glorious because it's the only hope for the world. It's the only hope for the world. It seems everywhere we look, it just looks hopeless. Everywhere you look, it's just hopeless. Listen, when we got the car that night, I didn't know where I was. I knew I was at the airport. I knew I was in Phoenix, Arizona. But after that, I was lost as Hogan's goat, man. I didn't have a clue how to get where I wanted to be, so the car had a navigator. A navigator, because listen, if you don't do what she tells you to do, she will tell you again and again and again. If she thinks you run them up, do a U-turn. Turn around. Am I telling the truth, Bill? And I tried her. She took us down back streets to get to where we needed to go. And we saw all kinds of crazy stuff. All kinds of crazy stuff. Listen, it looks completely hopeless. The future of our economy looks hopeless. Listen, they're printing greenback dollars on thin air. Our economy looks hopeless. As we look to the future of our educational system, church, it looks so hopeless. Not only do students work for yours to pay back their student loans, the product of our state and many of our private institutions of higher learning, is militantly anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-morality, anti-tradition, anti-American. When our elected officials are advocating for confused men to be able to use the same bathroom as young ladies in school, in college, wherever they're at, use the same bathroom because I identify as a girl. Listen, drop your pants and check some stuff out and figure it out. You ain't no girl. Here's some more statistics. 90% of youth, those young people in that other room, some of you young men sitting in the back, listen to this. 90% of youth who are active in church drop out of church by their sophomore year in college. 72% of college faculty members describe themselves as politically liberal. 70% of Christian youth who attend secular universities will completely abandon their faith. It just looks hopeless. It just looks hopeless. But church, there's a good word. There's good word. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? The fact is, if you're looking for hope in this world, you'll never find it. Hope cannot be seen, but the good news is hope can be heard. Hope can be heard. You can always, in every season of life, hear the eternal sound of hope. It's emanating from the gathering. It's emanating from the gathering. Listen, in the midst of every hopeless season of American history, God has always sent an awakening. Every single revival awakening in our history has started in a gathering. Every one of them. God will call some John the Baptist type guy to be an anointed voice, but it will always be the gathering that embraces awakening and flows it to the hopeless world. Every time it comes through the gathering. If you feel hopeless today, I got good news for you. I got good news for you. If you feel hopeless today, there is still hope in an old rugged cross. Amen? Listen, this is a whole lot more than just us coming together on Sunday morning. This is a whole lot more than just us coming together on Wednesday night or Sunday morning or women on Thursday and the men on Friday night. It's way more than that. It's about coming together in the presence of God. The Bible says where two or three agree touching any one thing, I'm there. I am in your midst. There is still hope in an old rugged cross. Bow your heads with me. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, in your midst. Actually, you're in the midst of us. Lord, as the words of this song our heart can be full of sorrow. Times like this, we begin to reflect on how much we've let you down. Looking down the road, Lord, we look into tomorrow and we see and we dread the pain that waits for us, and the sun reveals our broken dreams. They lay scattered on the ground. Lord, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. Grace is manifest, church, in the gathering of the saints of God. At the end of the day, all I have is you, Lord. I'm at your mercy. Lord, I'll serve you until my dying day. I will serve you until my dying day. My job is to help others find a way. At your mercy, Lord, please forgive me. That's why you sent your Son in a demonstration of love to die on a cross. Because your love for the gathering of the saints of God, the love that you had for the gathering of the lost that were out there, that you would bring them back together, Lord, you sent your Son. You're the God of earth and glory. The fact that you would take the time to even care for someone like me. Oh, but God, because we've been in the gathering here this morning, Lord. We've read the Bible. We've read that old story. How you bled for my forgiveness while you were dying on a tree. While you were dying on a tree. Lord, we're seated in this place today. We're gathered. We're gathered. We're gathered, Lord. There are those that need to be in this gathering. There are those that need to experience your Spirit and your presence in this gathering. Lord, there are those, Lord, that need your redemption. They need to feel the love and the care and the support that can only come from the gathering. If you're here in this place today and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never been brought into the gathering of the saints of God. I've never been brought into that realm." But God, today, because I'm in the gathering, because I'm under the shared anointing, under the presence of God, I feel the need to give my life to Jesus, to have my soul rescued from hell. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved, but I want to today. Today's my day. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be part of the gathering that meets Jesus in the air should you rapture your church. If I go by way of the grave, Lord, I want to be part of the great gathering that come up out of the ground and are gathered together with you in glory." If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you that God will get a hold of you, that you will receive from Him all that He has for you. If you're watching today online, you can be just as saved as if you were here. We wish you were here because we can't lay hands on you through that camera. We can't anoint you with oil. We can't put our arms around you as you weep and cry and love on you through that camera. We can't. I can get you saved by just praying a prayer with you through the camera. But there's something about the anointed touch. You'll never be the same. I want to invite you, every one of you that are watching by way of the internet today, I want to invite you, not necessarily to come to this church, but we'd love to have you in this church. But if you're watching from a great distance, find a church that loves God, loves people, and get into that place and become a part of what God is doing in your area. Maybe you're here today and you have a need in your life. You need people to lay hands on you and to pray the prayer of faith with you. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar right now. Get up out of your chair and come to this place right now. There are people that want to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil and pray and agree with you. If that's you and you want to come to this altar, come. Let us bless you. Let us minister to you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you today. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the gathering. For the glory of the gathering, Lord, I thank you for it. And Father, I pray, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would bless each and every person in this place. Every person that's watching, every person that calls themselves your child in this gathering place, Lord, bless them. Be with them. Lord, bring them back tonight to hear the word of the Lord. God, with a special speaker tonight, God, bring your church back together. Gather us together, Lord, to hear what your messenger has to say to us, Lord. And Father, I thank you for that. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. God go with you. If you want prayer, come on up here.